Now, research estimates that the global population will reach 9.1 billion by 2050. And with a rise in meat consumption, the larger public will require an extra 200 million tons of meat annually if we continue on our present consumption rate. Now, June 11th sees the beginning of this year's World Meat Free Week. This global initiative returns to put a spotlight on the importance of reducing our meat intake for the sake of our planet. For the sake of our planet, what difference does it make? Well, here to tell us more, I have Jay McGuinness, singer with boy band The Wanted and also winner of Strictly Come Dancing in 2015 and an avid vegetarian. Hi, Jay. How's it going, my son?
Hello, mate. How's it going?
That's all right. That was a big build-up.
I mean, my ego's through the roof at this point.
Right, as I say, you're an avid vegetarian, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, avid as they come. I'm practically foaming at the mouth. No, I think I'm an enthusiastic vegetarian. I really I feel passionate about my own choice, but I never really wanted to beat people over the head with it and tell them they have to be. But I think World Meat Free Weeks are really kind, open-minded sort of reminder to people that like your choices with your food do make a difference, and you don't have to become vegetarian or vegan, but if you can think about switching out one meal for a meatless one, then you've done something good for the planet.
So give us some of the facts then with regard to the campaign this week. Why are we being asked to do this?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Amazon rainforest, most of the deforestation that's happening is just for beef production. And it's really tough because we're here in Europe and we've cut down a lot of our ancient forests. And it's really hard to tell these farmers, you know, you shouldn't have this as a source of income. But, you know, people sort of follow the market. And over the years, vegetarianism and veganism too have got bigger and bigger. But it would be great if like the meat-eating community, without sort of changing their ideas and forget, like, foregoing ever having a Sunday dinner again, but just sort of slightly reduce the amount of meat they have, because that old idea that you have to have meat and two veg for your dinner, it's a bit outdated. And I think a load of people are really open-minded and, you know, love having the vegan option or the vegetarian option every now and again. But it's just trying to get the word out to meat eaters that, you know, you ain't all bad, just try and reduce it a little.
I mean, the problem is, though, we hear figures like this all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's difficult to actually put a real figure on how it affects, you know, what I do actually affects the planet.
Yeah, I mean that attitude is one that I completely understand. I just think that we're only one person, and those sort of huge statistics feel sort of insurmountable, but you can make a small difference. You are a small part of the planet, and your choices do have an impact, and who knows exactly how much, but I think I don't know necessarily if all my recycling is going to the landfill or not, you know, but I'm still going to do my part because I care about it.
Now, I think one of the figures in the research says that 14.5 or something percent of greenhouse emissions are created by cattle and or farming like that. And when you look at the fact that they reckon that about 2% is created by all the shipping in the world. If the figures are right, it is quite a big discrepancy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, and it might feel like your 0.001% difference doesn't make a huge impact, but if as a collective people do start making changes, then I think it can make a huge difference. And I am always tempted to say governments and companies need to step in here and, you know, do their own responsible stuff that then we operate within. But you know what? The governments and companies end up normally following the market. And I think that you can sort of vote with your pounds, can't you? And if you do end up just one meal a week, you go and have a veggie burger, I don't think it makes a huge difference in your life, but it can have a trickle-down effect.
But what drew you to being a vegetarian then?
Well, when I was a kid, I was 13 years old, we learnt about diet in school, and I just loved animals and couldn't really reconcile that I loved them and then I ate them. So I just left school, went to my mum in the car with my five siblings. I'm like, Mum, I want to be veggie. And she's like, well, what are you going to eat? And I said, chips. I had literally no idea what I was doing it for, apart from I liked animals. And I think I had chips that night, which were probably cooked in animal fat. I'm a very unsuccessful vegetarian. I drank Guinness for years, and then Guinness announced they were going to be vegetarian in 2016. I thought, oh, brilliant. I've obviously been drinking that anyway. So, yeah, I think it was just ethics at first, just felt really empathetic for these creatures that look you right back in the face, you know, and there's something in there. And then only in my 20s I sort of realised that like meat reduction is similar to like recycling on the old environmental scale. At the time, I was just like a little kid that liked animals.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting because I was vegetarian fully for about 10 years at one point. And then I had some health issues, and one way or another, I was scratching at straws. So I started eating a bit of meat again.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it is recognised that, you know, the less meat we eat in a week, the healthier it is for us, I think.
Yeah, I think, well, a lot of people become vegetarian or vegan and feel the health benefits. But I think, like anything, if you are going to change your diet, you really have to research. Because, so, I mean, especially vegan, you need to make sure you're getting all the right nutrients. And but then again, you know what? So should everyone. I think a lot of people that have a completely omnivore diet or carnivore diet don't realise they're deficient in this, that or the other. And like you say, like if you end up having a health problem, you really have to work out what works for your body.
Now, you're vegan, aren't you?
Vegetarian.
But see, I thought you seemed quite cheerful.
Oh, poor vegans, they have so much work to do, though.
Well, really, I think so, yeah.
I think about 20 years ago, maybe, it was a pretty tough spot for vegetarians. And now, I mean, it's you really can't walk down the street without getting hit by a veggie sausage. It's very, very mainstream. But vegans really have their work cut out. You have to be very organised.
Yeah, well, I mean, I, like you said, there are a lot more options now to be vegetarian. And right. I'm just trying to get this whole thing, because it's a big argument to actually, somebody that loves the meat, we're brought up that way, you know, to try and change and say, well, you know, people say, well, you can't get this out of your food if you don't eat this and that. You do need to know a little bit about nutrition to do it healthily, don't you?
I think, I mean, 90% of it for vegetarians or meat reducers is B12. Make sure you get B12. A lot of people supplement that, or you can just get it in things like Marmite or Vegemite. What someone said to me, that was, should I have to supplement? I'm like, no, of course not. But most of the B12 that people normally get is from animals that have been supplemented themselves. So a lot of your B12 that you might get in your beef or pork is because the animals are giving a feed that contains it. So I think we're a really cool modern society where you can have a pill that has stuff that you need, and you know, you have control, you have choice. So yeah, you definitely have to do your homework though.
So what does the difference of replacing one meal a week, do you think, is that going to make?
Well, I think hopefully it's a trickle down one, because if you start going through life thinking, okay, I need to have meat in every single meal, by the time, you know, your time's up, you've eaten a lot of animals. I think that if you just sort of get used to the idea of, like, I always remember being at restaurants with the boys if we were on tour, someone would talk about the vegetarian one or two options and how they couldn't have it. And it always seemed weird to me, because I always felt like, no, you have the freedom to eat anything on the menu, you know? And sometimes people like apologise, like, oh, sorry, I ate that, it's vegetarian and you should eat it. I'm like, no, like, vegetarian is for everyone. Unless you're vegan. Sorry, vegans.
Yeah, but also the problem is, like, when I was vegetarian, you feel a little bit unpopular when you go out or you go to somebody's house, because they've got to think about making a different meal for you or vegetarian for everybody.
It's tough to be a guest when you're vegetarian. I think barbecues are all right, because you can bring your own stuff and no one really minds chucking a veggie sausage in the corner. But I guess that's just a host thing. If you're super kind and say, sorry, I'm vegetarian, Is there anything you can do for me? Then most people are understanding. If not, get them out of your life.
The secret is to look sad enough.
Yeah, just whimper.
Yeah, so where can we get more information on this?
If you want to go online, you can find it at worldmeatfreeweek.com. And if you do end up pledging, let us know. You can tweet me, or they have their own social media pages too. And if you use the hashtag, that's what I'm going to be scrolling through and looking at all that. So yeah, there's hopefully a bunch of people going to do it this week. And it's just one meal. So let us know.
Jay McGuinness, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.